What a miss. Good morning to you.
Morning.
What a blessing to have a fellowship with some sweet friends who love Jesus. Amen. Gospel of John, chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold a man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate saith unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" Then Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called in the pavement, but in the Hebrew, it is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." And they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Let's pray. Lord, you've been so good to us, giving us complete forgiveness of sins and the salvation for life eternal. God, you paid all of our sin debt. You watched us and helped us. We love you.
Amen.
You are our God. You are our Father.
Amen.
We want to praise you continually.
Amen.
I ask you to give us a good time this morning, a time in thy word that be a blessing. May we have a blessing. May we go from this place with a blessing. And Father, we just thank you for the word that we've got. We thank you for all that the blessings that you've already given us, and blessing of having each other. And this word that we have, we thank you very much for bringing the word to us. You know each heart and life that's here. You know if there is a lost person within the sound of my voice, I pray that they might believe upon you and be saved. Christians that have big, great burdens, I pray, Lord, that you'd lift those burdens. I ask you to give me a freedom and an ease to speak that only you can give. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. John is such a book. Bless your heart. In the next chapter, where we go, or one or two, it'll tell you why he wrote the book, that you would believe that Jesus was the Christ and you'd be saved. That's the reason why he wrote this book. I believe it's one of the last ones to have been written myself. That's just my thinking, because he bound to have had the other gospels in his hands. And he writes it a little bit different. And it's a definite purpose in his mind. He's evangelizing. And this was so that you'd believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he paid the debt for your sins.
Amen.
And what a blessing that is. Is there anything any better?
No.
I don't know of anything any better. My sins being forgiven, I didn't pay for them. I had a debt that I couldn't pay, as that song says. He paid a debt I couldn't pay. All I can do is thank him. Believe him and thank him. And by the grace of God. Well, Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. They brought him in there. The high priest, they wanted him to be crucified, and they did not have the power under the Roman government to take life. And especially crucifixion. And well, you're seeing it on the TV all the time. Maybe really decent policemen get burdened and challenged by a lot of resistance, and they get mad, and maybe they go over the case. They do something wrong, and sometimes they end up in prison because somebody dies and whatever. They planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put on him a purple robe. Now, purple was for the king. And Pilate is the most powerful man in his jurisdiction. But he's all under the Roman government. And he said, they put this on his head and called him a king. Now, these are thorns. Have you ever seen some big thorns? I spent a lot of time. I loved hunting and I loved walking at different times. And boy, some of those thorns are pretty bad. And these soldiers, they know what they're doing. And they're coarse. They're not soft people, you know. They're used to crucifying people. They're used to killing people. And they beat him up. Now, I don't know why, except that he would be absolutely defenseless. Said they planted the crown of thorns, put it on his head, and then put on him a purple robe, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And then they hit him, smote him. I don't know about you, but when they have a big celebration of some sort downtown, I don't like to get into that crowd, because the gangs get into those crowds and break the windows and steal things and start a riot and whatever. These are rough guys. These are guys that are used to pushing people around and beating people up and killing people with a sword. And they smote him with their hands. It says he scourged him, and that's exactly what scourging means. Being beaten with a whip. Some of those whips that I have seen have bits of little metal or stone wedded into the leather of the cat of nine tails, like. And every time they hit you, it's not just the leather that's hitting you, it's that points and rocks. And it tears the flesh. And so you're bleeding from a lot of different places after you've been scourged. Some people didn't live through the scourging. They smote him with their hands. And he went forth, therefore, and said, "Behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." Now, Pilate, over and over, has said, "I find no fault in him. I don't have a reason to crucify him. I don't have a reason to kill him. I don't have a reason to hold him. I find no fault in the man." And these jealous priests, because he was arguing with the priest at the temple for 3 years, and wherever he went, he was preaching a gospel that they just couldn't understand. They smote him with their hands. They hit him. And he's wearing this crown of thorns, probably blood coming down the sides. Got a purple robe, because nobody could wear purple but the king. And Pilate said, "Behold a man. Have I got enough?" That's what he's asking these guys. "Okay, you priest, I've taken him in here. He's bleeding from the top to the bottom. He's bleeding from the front to the back. He's been whipped and he's been beaten. Is that enough?" That's the way I'm looking at it. Have I done enough? Can I turn him loose now? Because I don't find any fault in him. Now here's a judge. He doesn't care. It doesn't bother him to give the death penalty. It doesn't bother him to do a lot of things, but this, even his wife had told him, don't have anything to do with that man. She got a burden. And so he's got this, he knows this jealousy there is between these priests and Jesus. And so he has the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and the chief priests saw him. He brought him before him. He's like, "Have I done enough? Crucify him. Crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." There he is again. He's saying again, "I've examined him. I find no reason to kill this man. This man hasn't done anything worthy of death. I don't even find any fault in him." Well, you look at the life of Jesus, there's no fault in there. "I find no fault in him." And the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Uh-oh. That's something new for Pilate. He made himself the Son of God. He ought to die because he did that. Well, therefore Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and he went into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. You know, the reason why that Pilate would have to worry is because of his own job. If he lets this man live, and he claims to be a king, the king of the Jews, and he gets back to Caesar, that Pilate didn't squash this king that's going to come and fight against the Roman Empire, suppose. He's in trouble with Pilate. I mean, he's in trouble with Caesar. Caesar said, "Well, let's move another guy in. I don't know Pilate. I haven't seen him in a long time. What's he trying to do?" How many times have you been caught between two opinions? In your family, at your job, at other places. If you make the move one way, you hurt these people. And if you don't make that move, you hurt these people. People get offended all the time. They get offended about what you say. They get offended about who you back. They get offended about your voting. And there's a whole lot of things like that that comes up, and you have to make choices. Even in a family. You're in a family, and there's a difference of opinion. You make a judgment. Well, you make somebody mad, or you hurt their feelings, or whatever. But this right here is talking about your income. It's talking about your life, maybe. Because the Romans were not really given to saving lives. They were given to taking a lot of lives. They were conquering people, and they really were strong. Because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate hadn't heard that before. You mean he's been claiming that he is the Son of God? Well, now, Pilate said, I better think about this. He goes again into the judgment hall and says unto Jesus, "Whence art thou? Where are you coming from? You the Son of God?" He gave him no answer. He just didn't answer him. Well, that made Pilate mad. "You don't know. I'm the one in authority here." You ever had anybody question your authority? I've had it plenty of times. Plenty of kids in the classroom in school don't want the authority of the teacher. And sometimes in the family of kids, They don't like maybe what dad or mom did. And maybe at your work there's differences of opinion. All the time. And you don't like this thing or that thing or whatever. Well, here he is. And he's got all these Jewish high priests wanting him to crucify this Jesus. And it made him afraid when he heard that he made himself the Son of God. Well, you see, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. That's what I claim him to be.
Amen.
That's what I believe him to be.
Amen.
And he's coming up before the judgment of the Roman Empire. That's who Pilate is working for. Made himself the Son of God. He speaks to Jesus about it. And Jesus doesn't answer him. Then said Pilate unto him, speakest thou out unto me? You're not going to answer me? Have you ever questioned a person of authority? And I have. In some cases, I was as much authority as they were, as far as I was concerned. They don't like that. They don't like you judging them or judging that you don't have to obey them. And here's Pilate. He sentences people to death every week. He makes decisions that cost a lot of money and a lot of opportunity to different people all the time. And here's this poor bleeding man with a crown of thorns on his head and blood running out of that and a kingly robe of purple. And he doesn't know that I have the power to kill him and or set him free. Speakest thou out unto me? Man, he's offended. Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? And that was in his power. Pilate's telling the truth. That's exactly what his decision was. And what do you mean to not answer me? Well, Jesus said in verse 11, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Wow. You couldn't have any power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Yeah, I'll recognize your power. And you got the power of the Roman government, and you've got the opportunity. Wow. I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee. Now, just for self-interest, crucifixion is one of the most horrible ways of dying that I know. Look it up in the encyclopedia. I was surprised. I've said this to you before, but I was looking and I was wondering, what was crucifixion doing now? And I looked up in the encyclopedia, and I found all these nations, many of them in Africa, that their death sentence is crucifixion. Right now. Right now. And you talk about, we shoot a guy with a needle. We don't even hang them anymore, hardly. And they used to want to hang them so that that would scare other people. They wouldn't want to get hung and they'd obey the law. Now then, you worry about Edison built the first electric chair. And it caused a bad accident. And it really blew his reputation there for a while. Because it didn't kill the guy, it just tortured him, you know. And man, what a little reading about it was interesting. Now then, we just give them an injection. Take a shot. If they take you to kill you for the law, it's just a shot. Just take us. I take shots all the time. And then it's not really a horrible thing. Unless you can't consider the death being the horrible thing. But they're not beating him to death. They're not having a bunch of soldiers to beat on him and bully him. Not putting a crown of thorns on him to keep him bleeding. They aren't whipping him with a whip, and a whip that would cause all sorts of little places of scratches and sores that would be hurting him. Wow. You couldn't have any power at all against me except they were given thee from above. Well, that works both ways. It works that he's got the power from the Roman government or that he has the power from God. And from thenceforth, verse 12, Pilate sought to release him. You know, Pilate was in a bad spot. Have you ever thought about it? He's got the power in this suburb of, or not suburb, little country that's got to be obedient to the Roman government. And his whole existence, and with his wealth and his power and whatever, was from the Roman government. And if he displeases the Roman government, bless your heart, he's gone. They'll all crucify him. The Roman government was not a very easy people to go against. They were some strong soldiers and some strong armies, and they did conquer a great part of the world. Amazing. Speakest thou not unto me? You're not going to talk to me? Knowest thou not I have power to crucify thee? And I have power to release thee? You could have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Now you might take that from the Roman government, or you might take that from God. You got the power. And says from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. You talk about caught between the rock and the hard place. Jesus is not only caught between the rock and the hard place, but Pilate's caught between the rock and the hard place. And that's one time he should have listened to his wife. His wife told him, man, I had a bad dream about this, and you leave that Jesus alone. He didn't listen to her. And he was more afraid of the Roman government than he was his wife. So he didn't obey his wife, and he got himself in trouble. Pilate therefore sought to release him, and the Jews cried out, if you let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Well, that's true. You reckon they'd get a bunch of soldiers and come out and conquer this little place out in the middle of nowhere? Well, they did a lot of it. Because he made himself the Son of God. Now, I don't know what all Pilate's beliefs were. But if you believe there were gods, and in those days there were many gods worshipped. Listening to Paul where he preaches and goes into the different cities and they have all these statues to these different gods. And there's one in there to the unknown God. Paul says, that's mine. And he preached to him, the unknown God. And the God was unknown to them. Until he began to preach, but that some people believed. And that's what you're doing. Saturday, around here, we got people going out putting tracks on doors. Stuffing some plastic bags that can just hang on a door. I don't know how many people that have been helped or blessed by the tracts that have been printed. It's an amazing thing. I used to go into any church that I hadn't been in before, and I went to first place where their tract were. I picked out any tract that I hadn't seen, and I hauled them home, and I read most of them and learned some things. You can get saved by tract. Marty's hiding herself under her rug this morning. Bless your heart. I need it. Marty kept it a couple of years. I don't know whether I put that on there or somebody else put it on there. But she come down, marching down here, you know, she gets saved. She comes in and sits right down by Billy's wife, Cindy. Cindy Windsor's of the Lord. And then she's been on missionary on a foreign field. She went back to witness to her family, and she's coming to us because she likes us. You know what? I just want to let you know, the congregational singing I really like. I can't sing anymore at all, but I love to listen to it. And you all sing well, and you sing songs you love, and you sing songs loud, and you put out some effort in it. It's a blessing to me. It really is. Are you the Son of God? Thou sayest it. Thou couldst have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that hath delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. Pilate knew he was in trouble. He was going to do to a man that didn't deserve it. And he sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend." Now that was a really good argument for Pilate, because he was a politician. He didn't want to lose his place. He didn't want to lose the money or the prestige or the power. And Caesar, all Caesar had to do was give the word one time. If he gave it, why, Pilate wouldn't be anybody. When Pilate heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth. Verse 13. Set down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was the preparation of the Passover. Now, the Passover happened once a year. They're celebrating their deliverance from Egypt. When the angel came through Egypt on the firstborn son, if they didn't have the blood over the door, the firstborn son died. And those that believed and put the blood over the door and on the side post of the door, their son didn't die. And then the Jews went out of Egypt with rich, rich things. Money and gold and silver and things. And they carried them all into the desert. Probably bankrupted Egypt at the time. Wow. That's something to celebrate. You know what I celebrate? I celebrate when Jesus forgave me of all of my sins. Because what I come to read, that I got eternal life there. I didn't have to get that to get eternal life. I got eternal life. I've got it right now. It's never going to end. Seems like this life isn't going to end for me. I'm getting old, in case you didn't know it. I'm sorry, I apologize for my old age. But I'm still having a good time. Yeah, praise the Lord. From thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. Now, he dealt with these priests on a weekly basis. They're the leadership of the Jewish religion, and this is the Jewish country. And so he's having to put up with them at all times. And if they start writing, and what it seemed like they're a cantankerous bunch. Have you met some people that you just can't please? I've met a few. Not in this class, of course. Oh yeah, I've met a few. Some of you are they the ones that are, can't be pleased. Shame on you. Confess it. Repent of it. Get forgiven. Forgive people. You aren't that big after all. Right?
Amen.
Are we as big as we think we are?
No.
I don't think we are. I don't think we are. You think you ought to get a lot more prestige, more power, whatever. We ought to put you as the most beautiful in the church. No. Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend." Do you know what's going to happen to Pilate if he lets him go? They're going to have a letter sent to the Caesar the next week. Pilate didn't kill this king. Let this king live. So he was in a hard place. He really was. He brought Jesus forth and set him down in the judgment seat that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. And he says unto the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate says unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, look at this in your Bible. "We have no king but Caesar." Wow. What a revelation. We have no king but Caesar. Who's your king? Who's your king?
Amen.
You got any king besides Caesar? I've got Jesus.
Amen.
He's my king. King of kings and Lord of lords. The greatest name in all the world, Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Wow, we're going to be loving and praising and thanking Jesus for eternity.
Amen.
Wow. What was happening that day in Jerusalem? What was happening? God was getting ready to make payment for all sin of all men.
Amen.
It's a great conception.
Amen.
And the idea of salvation coming to you because you're better than somebody else, that's not it.
Amen.
It's a gift. Read the Bible. It says gift, gift, gift. You know what a gift is? It's a gift. If you don't have it, you don't have to pay for it. Jesus already did that.
Amen.
In His love, in His grace, in His kindness, He gives it to you free.
Amen.
God evidently wants to fellowship throughout eternity with a group of people.
Amen.
And He had to clean them up, and the way that they did it was Jesus went to the cross for your sins.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Wow. You don't pay for it. You don't pay it back. You couldn't buy it with all the money in the world. And God gives it to you as a gift of grace. That blows my mind. Blows my mind. I remember as a kid thinking about heaven and hell and whatever. And I was thinking, just hope I'm just good enough to be over 50%, because I figured the top 50% would make it into heaven and the bottom 50% of mankind would go into hell. That wasn't biblical, you understand me?
Amen.
That was just a kid's thinking. And when I learned that it's a gift, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Whosoever, bless your heart. September the 1st, 1957, I said, that's me. 20 years old. I'm going to call on Jesus. It says he'll forgive me. He won't turn me down. Wow. I called on him. Man, did he change my life. In an instant, in a moment. I turned some things around. My favorite game was poker. I threw all my poker cards away and the chips away and what I had. I don't even have a poker deck in my house right now. I know they can play all sorts of games with it. But for me, I love poker. I was too much of a gambler. And my wife was always afraid I was gambling on doing different things that I've done. But he saved my soul in one night's time. And I'm still looking back on that date. September 1st, 1957. Wow. I got eternal life. And you know what? You could be saved today.
Amen.
That's why this book was written. I love the Gospel of John. I just really do, because it's an evangelistic book, and I've been basically an evangelist most of my 67 ministries of preaching. If you're here today and you're not saved, you need to take Christ as your Savior. You need to call upon Him. He says, whosoever shall call upon me shall be saved. Wow. I'm telling you the truth. I called upon Him on one night, and I've been saved ever since. And I'm happy with the thing. I had my friends say, oh, well, you'll get over it in a couple of weeks. Oh, 67 years I haven't gotten over it.
Amen.
In fact, it's the most important thing in my life.
Amen.
And that's why I've been preaching and teaching. I may not preach and teach as well as I ought to, but I've been preaching and teaching so that other people can believe that if they'll call on God, He'll save them, and they'll call on God. And quite a few people have. Around the world, praise the Lord. For whosoever, you know what you can do? You can write your name right in there. For whosoever, that's you. If you'll call on the name of the Lord, that's Jesus, He'll save your soul.
Amen.
Amen.
What was happening here? Jesus and God the Father in heaven were setting up the payment for all mankind. Now in this room, some of us are better than others, some of us worse than others, and we all know it. Your salvation doesn't depend on it.
Thank you, Lord.
The only thing that can pay for your salvation is the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He was sinless, and yet He was a sacrifice.
Amen.
He was sinless, but they nailed Him to the cross. He was sinless, but He paid for my sin.
Amen.
And He paid for yours.
Amen.
There is an established righteousness in heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ, which He carried there after He rose from the dead, put into the mercy seat. And therefore, anybody that called upon that name would have forgiveness of sin.
Hey, Lord.
Be given eternal life. That's more than all the wealth of all the world.
Right.
I got on to television, a certain program, and it was talking about all these rich actors. And my, we got some rich actors. Boy, they got some houses. They got so many houses, they can't use them all. And all, they're fancy. They really are fancy. They, boy, that's something else. But you know what the Bible tells you if you'll read it? That having eternal life is more valuable than all the wealth of the world. Billions. Some of these people are worth billions. And now some of them hundreds of millions of dollars. And they lived in so many rooms. They gotta have somebody clean it because the wife ain't gonna do it. And you being forgiven from everything you've ever done and given eternal life as a gift. You know what a gift is? You don't pay for a gift. If you pay for it, it's not a gift. The gift of God is eternal life.
Amen.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Can you write your name in there?
Amen.
You sure can. I did mine. And I had the naysayers. I'm witnessing to the people. I quit smoking and I was 2 packs a day man. And all of a sudden I quit smoking. Well, all my buddies in the Air Force, they smoked and blew it in my face. They said, couple of weeks, you'll be back with us. We've seen other people. No, my friend. I haven't smoked since then. I quit drinking. There's not a beer in my refrigerator. And in fact, I think most of the beer should be poured back into the horse. I won't bet you on which way a bird will fly off a branch, which I would have when I was young. I'll just give you enough to buy a soda pop. I got changed. I want you to know I got changed. God gave me a new life. He gave me some new habits. I was always a reader. I started checking books out of the library when I was 7 years old. Pay a nickel on the bus and go to the library downtown. They let a 7 year old to have 2 books and I'd read them. When the television came and my daddy bought a television, I was already dating Verlene. I didn't care anything about the television. I cared about Verlene. I got a change in my life.
Yes, sir. Right.
And it's worth more than all the wealth of the world.
Right. Amen.
If you have all that wealth and die without Jesus paying for your sins, where are you going to be?
Amen.
You're going to be in hell.
Amen.
You're going to be with the devil. You're going to be with those that thought that Christ was not the Son of God. Oh, let me tell you what. You need to consider carefully who Jesus is.
Amen. Yes,
sir. And what he did on this day we're reading about.
Right.
He paid your sin debt.
Thank you, Lord.
When I go to heaven, it won't be because Lindell preached so many sermons or won so many people to the Lord or was so clean in his heart or whatever in his mind. It'll be because somebody else paid my debt.
Amen.
You ever had somebody else pay your debt? When my 2 boys, Eddie, got spinal meningitis and went in the hospital. Let me tell you what, I all of a sudden owed a whole lot of money. Same year, Billy gets acid in the eyes in the hospital with specialists and whatever. had a whole lot of money owed. I didn't have the money to pay. I didn't have any insurance at all. I had a daddy who was a very frugal man. He lived through the Depression, lost everything nearly in the Depression. After that, he was a very frugal man. And my daddy paid those debts, those doctors and hospital costs. He paid it. He didn't ask me. He just did it. Because I had no insurance and I didn't have any money. Let me tell you something else. There's a God in heaven and He gave me life. And I grew up and I heard about Him. And by the grace of God, I got the message that whosoever, and I knew what that meant, that means me, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. You want to be saved? Call on the name of Jesus and ask Him to forgive you. Amen. He'll save your soul. He'll change your life. He'll pay your debt. Amen. He'll make you a son of God and an heir of heaven.
Amen.
There's nothing in the world that you can see that other people have that can compare in any way to salvation and eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you.